and super spiritual, heads in the clouds, and we're not doing anything on the ground with our hands and feet. You know, if you're going to build a kingdom, you've got to be prepared to get your hands dirty. So tonight we're going to talk a bit about the dirty, the nitty-gritty, all right, and what we're going to be doing in the next while. Is anyone excited to hear about that?
Woohoo!
Okay.
All right. Awesome. I can work with that. We've been speaking the last few weeks. It's kind of one message has led into another. Obviously, the Lord gave us strategy and so on. Just started revealing His hand a little while back. So I've just kind of been just aiming in that direction. And obviously, it's all coming together tonight. But for those of you who were away on the long weekend, who was away on the long weekend that wasn't here last week? Everyone was here last week. Okay, remember last week, I just recapped very quickly about what we spoke about on the long weekend. And it was the crux of it. The key scripture was about Mary and Martha, that we ought to choose the good portion. You know, we all get so busy with the things in life and even with the things of God, and a lot of that is not necessarily what the Lord has called us to do. And what's most important is that we make regular time to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did to find out what is specifically on His heart for us for this day and for the next while. And a lot of us are running on last year's revelation, 3 years ago's revelation, etc., etc. And we haven't bothered to find out, Lord, am I still on track here in terms of what You want me to accomplish in this life? And so the good portion, that which will never be taken away from us, is investing in our relationship with Jesus Christ and finding out what's on His heart and bringing our heart in line with His heart. That our heart would conform to what His heart longs for. So that's what we spoke about 2 weeks ago. And last week we spoke then a bit about vision, getting a vision for our life. And realizing as Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 29, that you can go forward on the slides. It's there we go. And verse 18, where there's no vision, my people perish. And we see that in today. People run about like headless chickens, don't know what they're aiming at. When you aim at nothing, you're going to hit that every time. Life is not going to amount to much. And we better believe and know that each of us have a God-given destiny and calling on our life. There's something very specific and something very significant that the Lord has called each one of us to in this life. And for each one, it's unique. That's why we don't compare to one another. Like Martha, that was very worried about what Mary's busy doing there, you know. Sometimes forget about the person to the left or the right of you. When you need to hear from God, you need to focus on Him and not worry about what the other people are doing right now. And then you get that mission and mandate from Him, and then you can go and run with that. And so we realize that we need to have a vision. And I challenge us individually, we need to have a vision. Each one is going to be unique. But also corporately, our visions are going to be interlocked and intertwined to some extent. And corporately, we're going to have one sort of, we're koepelende, I've struggled to find the English word now, all-encompassing, thanks Rob, the Rob Oxford Dictionary, okay, no, but that's very important that we realize that, you know, we've spoken about that many times before in the purpose of church and where we fit in and everything, that our callings, I believe, with all my heart, will always find expression through the local church. Wherever you are in the world, and you will move away from Table View, many of you, in time to come, and wherever God places you, you are called to slot into a local body there, and maybe for some of you to establish a local body, but you are meant to be working alongside and in fellowship with other believers, because it's that togetherness, that synergy, where two can send 10,000 to flight, as opposed to one only sending 1,000. There's a multiplication happening. Okay, and so our callings will work in conjunction and complement one another so that we can move forward and accomplish more for the Lord together than what we would have done individually, if you had to add that up. Okay, the team is bigger than the sum of the parts, as far as that's concerned. So it's very important that we realize that we've also got a corporate vision, and that our individual visions will form part of that, and you know, we got to realize that, and we've had that at intercession. The Lord has reminded us of that. Whatever the Lord calls us to do, He's going to give us the tools to accomplish that. He doesn't go and give us an impossible. I mean, the vision, as I said, if it doesn't scare you, it's not from God. because whatever God has asked us to do, He has preordained that we're going to need Him every step of the way. It's going to involve supernatural giftings and abilities and strength to be able to accomplish. You cannot do it in your own strength. So you're going to, He wants to be involved every day. It's not, He doesn't give you an order and there you run off and then you only see Him in 10 years' time again. That's not our God. Our God is a God of relationship and unity and togetherness and love. And He seeks to be involved every step of the way. So we're busy getting a vision from God, and I'm very excited this week to reveal what He's been saying to us and how that's going to pan out practically for us. I don't know if many of you guys were here when Pastor Hercules came to minister. It was on the 2nd of August, so that makes it 3 weeks ago. He came to minister here, and he had a specific vision for this region. Before he came to minister, he said the Lord showed him a picture of this divide with two groups of people on either side. One group on either side, two groups in total. And the one side was throwing rocks at the other side. And the scary part was it's the Christians that's throwing rocks at the unbelievers. Okay? Not a very nice picture to have. But it's just very graphic in terms of the division that we find in the world today, and very specifically true for Tableview as well. There's a divide between believers and unbelievers, and the divide in not a good way that I'm busy talking about here, where there's kind of a judgmentalism that is happening. There's a condemnation that the unbelievers are feeling, and there's a very distinct block in terms of entry into the kingdom and becoming part of the family of God. You know, there's a massive hindrance, and it's caused partly, at least, according to the vision, by us as believers, preventing unbelievers from fellowshipping and becoming part of us. It's like the requirements for entry are impossible and high. And we've become a holy idol, and we've become very comfortable in that. And, you know, and we haven't seen, and, you know, that's, I speak to, you know, every so often with pastors from various churches in this area, and, you know, that's, it seems to be a trend at the moment that there's very few new converts and unbelievers coming to church and coming to know the Lord. And, you know, that's, we are at fault here, because the Lord has already done everything that is required, everything that is necessary. And so we, somewhere along the line, we're missing something here. And I believe that the strategy that the Lord is giving us now for the next season is going to address that in a big way, to close that gap. And where we kind of throw the stones rather over our shoulder than at the people, you know, in metaphorical sense. Okay, so we're not, no one's throwing stones here in real life. I hope not. But the Lord has really been good to us the last 3 weeks in revealing His heart to us. And it's very exciting. I want to kind of just start by sharing John 21, verse 15 to 17 is one of the things the Lord showed us at the prayer meeting as well. And that's where the Lord speaks to Peter, right there at the end of the book of John, after they've, you know, the Lord's been raised from the dead, and there they saw Him again on the shores of Galilee. And He calls, you know, Peter runs to Him, and they have a discussion, and after they finish breakfast, you know, Jesus prepared breakfast for them. I mean, that's really cool, eh? How many of us can say that? You know, Jesus made me some fish and chips this morning. Like, so Jesus was brining fish for them there and just showing them again. There they're off catching fish or trying to catch fish. They catch nothing all night. He's already on the shore busy brining their breakfast, just reminding them He's their source. You know, because after He died and was buried, they went back to their fishing. When He already told them, you know, there's bigger things planned for you guys, but they went back to the old thing. They lost hope and everything. And there He appears again and reminds them, I'm your source. And you can believe in Me. You know, and it's so awesome. And He tells them how to catch fish, and they you know, we're going to look at that just now as well. But now I ask Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love You. And Jesus said to him, feed My lambs. Second time, Simon, son of John, do you love Me? He said to Him, yes, you know that I love you. He said to Him, tend My sheep. said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And you can, there's a lot to be said for that portion of scripture. With what I want to just highlight tonight is that every time Jesus asked him if you love him, you know, and Pete, in Peter's understanding of love, he said, yes, I love you. And he says to him, okay, since you love me, now you go and love the people. Okay. That is, at the end of the day, that's our motivation. That's what the Lord is calling us to. Isn't that the great commandment? Love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. First and the greatest commandment. Second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so it's about loving God and loving people. And there Jesus asked Peter, if you love me, go and love the people. That's what I want, you know. Because actually, Jesus is quite all right without our affection and so on. He existed for eternity long before we came along. We were created for his pleasure and his enjoyment. And yes, we must love him. But what he wants to do, he wants everyone to know him. He wants his glory to be manifest all over the world and in every heart. And so he says, if you love me, number one thing you can do for me is go and love the people out there. Okay, so that is really the heart behind what we're talking about tonight and the heart behind our vision for the next few months and so on. So I'm saying making it plain. It was one of the scriptures I used last week. When you receive the vision for the Lord from the Lord, it's good and biblical to write it down, which will help you to run with it. It will help remind you. It will help keep you on that course. Habakkuk chapter 2 says there, write it and make it plain on tablets that you reads it may run with it. So that's why tonight's called Making It Plain. We're going to make it plain. I'm going to lay it out for us. Nothing complicated or deep spiritual, you know. Andy Stanley says, you know, he doesn't know why the people, you know, everyone calls other preachers so deep and whatever. And no one's ever said he's a deep preacher. But he thinks he's a really good preacher. But he doesn't seem to evoke this compliment from people. And so he says, well, he's thought about it a little bit and he realizes why. And it's because actually he's a really good preacher because he helps people to understand exactly what he's saying. So then no one thinks it's deep. But when someone comes along and they say something and no one really understands what they're talking about, then people go away and say, oh, that was so deep and whatever, you know. And he's like, well, that's why he doesn't get that compliment, because he makes things so understandable and simple. And so I think I'm more in the mold of Andy Stanley. You might not often walk away and think, oh, Tim's such a deep preacher. Okay. But I try. I'm maybe more of a practical guy myself. So we're not going to get too deep tonight. Don't worry about that. If we had a drummer here tonight or a djembe, I would have rolled the drum. So maybe everyone can just cup on their chairs quickly. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? The drums. Okay. Here we go. Hit it. Thank you. Let's put our hands together. Yeah. I love it. Okay. I love it. Thanks to Sam who helped us design that one and everything. But this is from the heart of God for us here and now. Okay. And what I'm just gonna unpack it, as the deep preachers say. I'm gonna unpack it for us. It looks pretty obvious. I'm just gonna unpack it. You know, why that? Because what I want us to remember for the next few months, 7 months in fact, and I'll tell us why just now, is that, you know, whenever we do anything, you know, we're connecting it with this. This is our vision. This is our vision for the next while, until further notice. This is what we are about, loving table. Okay? So this is what we got to keep in mind. This is our motivation behind anything we do. It's about loving table views. It's not a coincidence that we are here today, people, that we live in this area, and that we worship here together, this church that has this vision. You know, this is the heart behind the matter. This is what the Lord would have us focus on now. This is something maybe I wouldn't want to go as far as to say we've neglected, but you know, this is the Lord just wants to refocus us at this time. Right, so very important, and I think it's a really neat logo. You see that? That's Table Mountain there in the heart. There's a little wave and so on. Okay. If you look carefully, you can see Ronald on his kite surfing. No. Okay, so I love my table view. Very specific reasons why it's panned out that way. Let's look firstly at the eye. Why the eye? Why the eye. You guys know the Great Commission? What does the Great Commission say? Jesus said, I've been given all authority, now you go. Okay, he says go. Who's he saying go to? I mean, I've just told you. Who's he saying go to? Us, eh? Me, I, myself. Go, he says go. That's what he said. That was like, you know, this, the second to last thing he said before he ascended. And so it's we've got to attach some kind of weight to that, and we've got to realize that it's not a suggestion. When our king commands us to do something, you know, we must go. But specifically, that wasn't just to the 11 disciples standing in front of him at that time. That is for every believer, everyone who loves the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ and longs for that, has been ordered, commanded to go. So that is why he's speaking to us. Acts 1 verse 8, the last thing he said then before he ascended, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You. Who is you? You, me. I. Can everyone say I? If you understand, if you agree that the Lord is speaking to us, say I. I. Okay. Do you understand why the I is in the logo? Okay, because the Lord is talking to us. He's busy telling us something. People, this stuff is not just a straightforward little message that I'm made up and prepared for today. This is coming out of the prayer closets where we as a church pray together. You know, I've got a little blue book that I write everything down that the Lord shows us, and it's coming out of that. It's coming out of what the Lord showed various members here today. This is a combined effort, okay? And so I want you to know that this is not Tiense's idea. This is from God, and many of us here heard it firsthand from him. All right, so what I've done is I've just brought it together, and I've, you know, making it plain for us. That's all I'm doing today. Okay, and I'm not even going to take very long about it, because I really want us to respond today to what the Lord is asking just by worshiping him. So we're just going to continue worshiping just now. Just give God thanks, and he has not forgotten us. We still are legitimate in this town. We've got a reason for being here. And we might be small, but it's not the size of the dog in the fight. Eh? Size of the fight in the dog. Okay. And we're not going to stay small, because the Lord wants to add to the church daily those who are being saved. Not about stealing other sheep. We don't want other sheep. They're meant to be where they're at. We want unbelievers. We want to reach out. Those people that feel like we're throwing stones at them, we want them to come. We want to love them, and we want to make good for having hurt them in that way. All right. Love. Why love? Why love? John 3:16. Who doesn't know John 3:16? Okay, that is very important. For God so loved the world. Okay, this is his heart. His heart is love. That is what motivated him to give up his son for us. And it's his heart of love that would find expression through his desire in having us have abundant life. He wants to bless us. He wants people to enjoy life. Life is a gift. There's many people in this town that are not enjoying life. Life is tough. Life, they're suffering. They're barely surviving. That is not God's heart for them. And we can do a lot change that for them by introducing them to the one who loves their souls. And so really love is the motive. You see there in verse 17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Okay. That's why I've got a DVD in the office. There's a few doing the rounds in the church. The title is Lord, Save Us From Your Followers. Why is that? Why can people make DVDs like that? Because that's the truth. A lot of people love Jesus, but they're not very impressed with his people and his church and his children. Because sometimes, very often, we get it wrong as the Lord's children. And we're out there judging and condemning left, right, and center, pointing people's sin out to them when they don't even know who made them and why they've been made. First things first, we've got to introduce them to the love of Christ. The price has been paid for their sin. Who are we now to come and point out their sin to them? Okay, so it's about love, people. no condemning, no judging, no throwing of stones. Right. 1 Corinthians 13. I've read this a few times in the last few weeks. The Lord has just drawn me back to this very well-known chapter of Scripture. And it's just so blessed me, so challenging me every time I read it. Because, I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is just there, 100%. And, you know, I'm not there. My fruit is not operating at 100% yet. I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. And it's challenging me. And I like it. I want to get there. You know, I want to love. And it's, and we read there the first two verses saying, you know, we can be all super spiritual and we can have all these spiritual gift things and we want to go out there and perform miracles. A lot of that is rooted in pride because we want to be the man or the woman of the power of our hour of power, whatever. Okay. And so we're out there and we fail the most important part, which is love, the motive. You know what? And the Lord, He will hinder us. He will oppose us if we go out there and we try and perform miracles without a motive of love. You cannot minister to someone if you don't love them. And so, first things first, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me your heart for the people. Give me love. Come pour out once more in my heart, just that tremendous love for the people out there. Then I can go out there. And then signs and wonders will follow. And it's not going to have to strive for that. It's just going to happen. The Lord will trust you with the glory that's to be revealed through you. Okay. So we really need to get there. We read there in verse 2, if I have not love, I'm nothing. If I have not love, I'm nothing. That's key. That's the heart's attitude. That's the attitude behind what we do. I love my table view. That's the action in the whole thing. That's where the tire hits the road. It's about love. And in verse 8, love never fails. Love never fails. And this is what, again, I need to remind you. This is what the Lord showed us. This is what He wants us to look at now, what He wants us to focus on. Okay, love. It's about love. And love will never fail. You can go out there without knowing what you're going to say to someone, without knowing maybe the A, B, C, D, E, F of Scripture. But if the Lord has done something in your heart and He's filled your heart with love for the people out there, you can go and make a bigger difference than someone who's got all the spiritual giftings and abilities in the world that does not love someone. The Lord can work through you and trust you if you love them. So that is something that all of us, we need to go and wrestle with in our prayer closets at home. Because that's the crux of the matter. Lord, if I'm not even going to step out there, it's going to be useless exercise if I go out there, but I'm really not loving the people. If I despise people out there, if I don't care what happens to people out there, then it doesn't help I go out there. Okay. But we need to recognize that is a wrong attitude. And the Lord is not pleased with that. And we need to say, Lord, I repent of that. Help me. Change me. Fill my heart with love for the down and out. Help me to love the unlovable. Help me to love people that are different from me, that look different, that smell different, that dress different, that sound different. Different language, whatever. We come from different places. Help me to love them. Help me to put my prejudice away. We're all born into certain situations and we develop prejudices over the years. Some of those take a while to undo. And so we need to bring that stuff to the Lord. Lord, you know, there's a certain group of people and I just don't gel with them. I find it very difficult to minister to them or to go out and do anything for them or serve them. It will be a challenge for me. Lord, come and change my heart now. Because I know that you've called me to reach nations and generations, everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Okay? Someone once said, you don't need to like someone, but you must love them. Why? Because Jesus loves that person. So we can love that person. Okay? Doesn't mean the person has to be your best buddy and sleep over at your house on Friday nights and so on. Not necessary. But you have to go out. You have to be prepared to love that person. In a sense, to lay down your life for them. Go and do something for them. Don't serve them. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He was our King. We know better. We should follow in His footsteps. Love never fails. Why my? Why my? Okay, really early on, way back, thousands of years ago, God said, be fruitful and multiply. Some of us in church are getting that right. And fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on earth, have dominion. Okay? God, in a sense, took a step back and said, there you go. You are responsible for stewarding what happens on earth, for looking after every living creature. You have dominion. You must rule and reign. You must dictate what happens. And obviously, we messed up and we surrendered that dominion in a big sense, you know, or we surrendered it to the enemy when we disobeyed God. But now, being the redeemed of God, coming back into His will and His plan for us, that becomes true for us again. God says, now, as my children, you must have dominion. And how many of us as believers go through life as victims and doormats and don't make any influence around us? No, we are meant to have dominion. But what it boils down to is it's our responsibility. God chooses most of the time not to interfere. He comes by invitation. He asks of us to invite Him into the situation. Because look at the next one. 2 Chronicles 7:14, Global Day of Prayer's key scripture. If my people call by my name, you see there, you guys know the scripture. I don't even have to go further. It shows there we have a responsibility. God has given us a function and a responsibility concerning our land. If we want to see change happening here, the ball is in our court. My people are called by my name. They will pray and seek my face and humble themselves. Then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Okay. We have the ability and the God-given responsibility and privilege to invite God to come in and act in table view. Okay. And so maybe a big reason why we don't see a lot happening is because the Church of Jesus Christ, as the Lord Jesus Himself said, is maybe not so much a house of prayer as it's meant to be. We're not praying. We're not inviting God to come in. I know there's many people that can't make it on a Thursday night, and there's many people in church that pray together other times of the week, and that's great. Just pray. If you can't make it to the first prize, we can pray together. There's power in unity and agreement that you don't have when you're alone. But nevertheless, prayer is powerful. Pray. Make time to pray, please. We need to be a praying church. If there's no praying happening in our personal lives, we're not going to affect much change in the town around us. Okay, God responds to prayer. It's been said that great men of God have said that they believe that God doesn't do anything except in response to prayer. We need to sit up and take note of that. Jesus speaks a lot about prayer. And He shows us. Prayer was a big discipline in His life. He prayed through the night. He would go and isolate Himself for hours at a time and go and pray. And when he was praying in Gethsemane, and what were the disciples doing? They were sleeping. You know, many of us are sleeping and not praying. We must get back there. They didn't know yet Jesus was going to go to the cross and be raised from the dead. You know, they had an idea. They didn't know what it would mean in the long run. Okay. So they probably just thought, you know, Jesus just being super spiritual again and whatever. No. We know what happened, and Jesus is asking us to pray. Are we going to sleep as well? They don't know. There's grace for them. We know. We need to get praying, guys. Okay. Matthew 23, verse 37, also one of the chapters that the Lord revealed to us. But I just want to highlight this one verse. And then Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, and he really weeps for Jerusalem. His heart breaks for Jerusalem. I mean, here's the city. You know, and there's going to be a new Jerusalem. The city is at the center of the kingdom in so many ways. This city that has rejected the people of God and the prophets and teachers that have been sent to it, stoned them and so forth. City that is steeped in religion and dead works. And yet there's people in that city that are called. People in that city that are meant to be worshiping the Lord even right now. And the same is true for Table View. The Lord's heart breaks for Table View. The Lord's heart breaks for His children that are that are orphans and wandering around in this place without a home and without knowing their Heavenly Father. People that are right now, they're ripe for the harvest. They are meant to be here even now, tonight, and in other churches across the town. And the Lord's heart breaks for them. And what does He say there? You know, again, the ball's in our court. He says there in the last, you know, He longs to gather them like a hen would gather her chicks. But He says to the people of Jerusalem, He says, you wouldn't do that. You didn't gather the children, you know. And we fall short. We fall short. And so we need to remember, we need to remind ourselves, what is God's priority? What is God's prerogative? What are we meant to be doing as believers in Tableview? We need to break this holy huddle. Everything that we do, we need to open up to unbelievers joining us. We need to make an effort to make people feel welcome. I'll speak a little more about that just now. Why Tableview? I thought it was rather obvious, but just so that we can get clarity on that. I love my Tilbach. Okay, so every Sunday we drive up. No. Acts 1 verse 8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So you'll know He's speaking to them in Jerusalem. And He says, you know, you're going to start, yeah, and you're going to take it further as well. Now, as a Shofar church, and we've seen the young Herns to Namibia all the way, and we've done outreaches, you know, as Shofar, we do outreaches all over the world, but we also do local outreach. But the point is, if we're not doing local outreach, then we're missing it. Think global, act local first. First, do no harm. Now, that's some other ad. First, start at home. Charity starts at home, eh? How does it go? Yes, we need to make sure that we're making an impact here. You know, I maintain, I think it was Ray McCauley that said this. You know, and he spends, you know, he's an evangelist, and what he does to develop that heart for people. Maybe some of us need to go and do that. I've mentioned this before. And he will sit in a mall, maybe on a Saturday morning. And that's a hive of activity. That is church for a lot of people. You know, that's where people gather. That's where people come together. That's where they worship with their finances. That's where they worship themselves, buying nice clothes to doll themselves up, whatever. Nice clothes are nice. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, it's the heart of the matter. So he sits there on the bench. Those benches made for evangelists in the middle of the malls. And he sits there and he watches people. He just watches the people for maybe an hour or two. I don't know how long he sits there for. But he watches people. And the Lord just, he just listens to what the Lord is saying. And the Lord just gives him a heart for the people. A heart for the lost. Some of us need to go and do that. We just need to go and sit and we need to watch people. And then you'll start seeing their brokenness. You'll start getting a heart. The Lord will give you a heart for the people if you ask Him to. And that will motivate you because you'll be like, you've got the answer. And that person needs it. And guess what? When someone who's broken, when you can give them the exact answer, and I'm not talking about just sharing the ABC of the gospel. I'm talking about relying on the Holy Spirit for a specific word for that person. Because God knows that person inside and out. He knows their life. And He can reveal to you, He can give you a gift of the Spirit, the word of knowledge. If you've been baptized by the Spirit, He can give that to you in that time where you can share something with that person that no one else knows, that they haven't even told maybe anyone. And you can say, you know, that thing that happened, you know, and you do it in private and whatever, that, you know, or just take the person aside. It's not to shame them or anything, but you say, you know, God was there. God knows what happened. And He didn't want that to happen, but He can heal that wound. You know, and you can speak a word into that person's life that will turn their life upside down and bring about such change in their life. One word from God can change a person's life. And so, but we need to take time and sit. And we need to recognize people around us. And so often we don't, because our week consists of, you know, Sunday, go to church and back home. Monday, drive to the office, and you know the people at the office, and you know they won't listen to you because, you know, they've seen you swear and curse at the computer and whatever else, you know. And then you got your cell group, and then it's church and home, and there you do your cycling and whatever. and you're not coming into contact with people, and whenever you go into the mall, it's just to rush in to get something. You don't even think of the person. We need to actually slow down a little bit and see, well, most of the stuff I'm doing is actually not impacting in terms of eternal value. But I can actually make a difference in someone else's life if I just slow down and I take a look around about me and just find out what God has to say about me. So we start at home, Matthew 22:37-39, the great commandments, and verse 38, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Who is our neighbor? That's pretty much, you know, if we're living in this area, it's table viewians, okay, are our neighbors. This is the area. These are our neighbors. And are we loving them? What is love? We did yesterday, we had a couple of us were here yesterday doing a bit of marriage enrichment and marriage preparation and all of that kind of thing. It's really great. And obviously, you know, that comes up and we talk about love and what is love. Love is not an emotion. It's not about being in love. Anything that you can fall in, you can climb out of just as easily. And that's why I see in the world today a lot of divorce and unhappiness. We just don't love each other anymore. You know, Ralph that has to sit in courts and so on, I think you shared it with some of us before, but, you know, and then they have to do some divorce litigation, whatever, and the people have to give their reasons for divorce, and most divorces happen within the first year. Because that's when it's quite a big adjustment then, two lives coming together. And people these days only get married for the good times, not good and the bad times anymore. They don't have a concept. What is covenant? What does it mean to be forever? Okay, I don't want to go too much off on tangent, but then they say, no, the reason irreconcilable differences, we don't love in each other anymore, etc. Love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Okay, it's not Cupid sitting there trying to hit us with arrows, right? And he hits you by accident, and you married, but you just couldn't help it because he hit you with an arrow. No, it's not like that, okay? Love is a choice, a decision that leads to action for the benefit of the intended recipient of that love, right? So it's a decision that leads to action. Love is a doing word. If love isn't communicated through something you say or something you do, then it will not be received as love. Then the other person won't even know that you love them. If the last time that I told Charlene that I love her was on our wedding day, probably she wouldn't be here tonight, okay? And I probably wouldn't be here then either, all right? You got to tell, you got to speak it, you got to do stuff, you got to show them, you know, you got to serve them, speak kind words over them, buy gifts, you know, you name it. Love is a doing word, all right? And we need to be loving our neighbors. People in table view. Okay, that's who the Lord will ask us. If you live your whole life in table view, the Lord will ask you, well, you know, all those people that lived, you know, that you passed by every day, that lived next to you, you know, the shop where you shopped and all the ladies at the tills and those people that asked you for directions and the lady at the video shop and so on, you know, what kind of an impact did you make in their lives? You know, these are the people that we live next to. These are the people that we meant to be touching with the love of God. Okay, so we got to realize that's God's heart. His heart is for the lost. We need a heart for the lost. Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost. He tells a parable of a man who's got 100 sheep and one goes astray. And he said, will he not leave the 99 and go after that one? And will he not rejoice more over that one when he finds it than over the 99 that are safe and sound? You see where the focus is? You see that we need to make more of a fuss over new people that come and visit? That's maybe why we have some tea and coffee in the beginning. We can connect with new people and welcome to the new people. We love you. Okay, but new people need to experience that. They need to feel welcome. They need to feel loved. Okay, we actually need to go up to them and talk to them. Offer them a cup of tea or something. You know, meet them at the door. Don't let people stand around and no one says boo or bar to them. We need to connect. Everything that we do, our small group meetings during the week, we need to be an opportunity for people to come, to get to know us, for us to love them, more importantly. Okay, and we need to make, if a new person comes to our small group, they are the most important person in that small group. We will stop everything to make them feel loved and special and precious. Okay, that's important. That's a mind shift that we got to make. Because we're very comfortable and we know each other and we enjoy each other because we've seen the beauty of God inside of each other, and it's very easy to connect. And it's very easy then to lose focus and forget about the new person that we don't know so well yet. Let me tell you that all of us that have been around for some time must focus our love upon that new person, not to freak the person out and whatever, overwhelm the person. Yeah. Can I take your shoes? Can I take your coat? Can I give you a cup of tea? Can I offer you a cookie? You know, not crazy. I'm just saying make the person feel welcomed and loved. Too often, you know, the danger is not that we do it too much. The danger is currently that we're doing it too little and we're forgetting the people. Okay. And that's once the person's here, let alone going out and inviting the person. You know, in America, they've done surveys of people that are not in church, unbelievers, asking them, why aren't you in church? 80% of those people, I think they said 80%, but it's the majority, cited main reason for not being in church is because, any guesses? Any guesses? Didn't feel welcome? That's true, but the number one reason, they weren't invited. That's why they don't go to church. They're waiting for someone to invite them. If you see an ad for some group and it looks like they're having an interesting discussion, you know, labeled, you know, whatever you want, who knows, like rugby discussion panel meeting, you know, Thursday, 7 o'clock. It sounds interesting and you'd probably benefit, but you don't know. They're having a great time there and they like going through all the Springboks best tries and they like having a great time and, you know, Coke is flowing like beer and whatever. I don't know. Who knows? Bad example. So they're having a great time. You don't know that. All you're just seeing this ad and it looks interesting. You're not going to go unless one of them come and invite you to it. You know? And we can place ads in papers and so on. You know, come to Shofar Table View and so on. Everyone welcome. No one's going to come. No one's going to respond to that ad. We'll create awareness. People will know there is a Shofar Table View, so there's merit in that. Last year, we advertised quite a bit in the beginning, and we'll do it again. But we need to go out and invite the people. And who's going to invite them? That's our job, all of us. Okay. In fact, you know, you guys almost get more opportunity to invite unbelievers than what I get. Because I'm often tied up, you know, and I love it, being with you guys. Okay. But then you guys, my job, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. All right. So we got to go out there. So I'm actually commissioning you guys. I'm sending you guys out there now. The harvest is plentiful, people. Matthew chapter 9, the harvest truly is plentiful. We must pray the Lord sends out laborers. Now, anything that we pray, we must actually follow it up. You know, it's a bit of a trick question that, or a trick command that the Lord has us. It's like you pray, and so we'll be praying, Lord, send out laborers, and afterwards we're going to be like, maybe I must go out. Maybe the Lord is sending me out here. Because if all the believers are praying, Lord, you know, who's going to get sent at the end of the day? But the Lord knows that if we bother to spend some time with Him, we'll catch His heart and we'll go out there. Pray that the Lord sends out laborers. As soon as we ask the Lord to send out laborers, guess what He says? He says, you go. Okay? Some of us are scared to pray that prayer. It's dangerous. You know? Because just now tomorrow, I have to actually go and speak to someone. Someone that I don't know. Ooh. Guess what? We don't have to do it in our own strength. We've been given the Holy Spirit, and along with that, a boldness to speak to people. Peter that stumbled over his words and everything and couldn't face people after he was filled with the Spirit of God, which we have. He could go out there and speak to the leaders and the scribes and the Pharisees. He could go out there and he could deliver the best sermon ever. Just go and read through Acts again. You'll see how through the Spirit of God that the early disciples, they moved and the church was being added to daily. After the first sermon that Peter preached, 3,000 people, boom, in the church. Boom or bang. You know, they came. It was so encouraging as we prayed as well the last time. The Lord showed me a picture of the churches in Table View, all the churches in Table View overflowing with people. Overflowing. like, we need to make a plan. We're going to have to take church outside. We're going to have to get Angus's tent or something, you know? That kind of thing. And that is the Lord's heart, and the Lord can do that. The harvest is ready. The Lord wants to bring it in. Just the nets must be ready. The nets must be cast out there. Our net is still folded up very neatly in the boat and well looked after. We just need to throw it out there. We just need to get out there. The Lord will do it. Don't. Jesus told his disciples, you know, they'll bring you before the authorities, but don't worry about what you're going to say. And that's the authorities. I'm not asking you to go and speak to Julius or anyone, okay? I'm saying just go out there and speak to someone. Don't worry about what you're going to say. And we're going to, I'm going to tell you now all the cool stuff, okay? So Jesus tells them, just before he invites them for breakfast, they've been trying to fish all night, catching nothing. He says, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Now, you better believe they cast the net all over that dam and caught nothing. But when Jesus says, then they couldn't even bring in all the fish. The nets were wanting to burst. Okay? There's a harvest out there. And I believe that the Lord is mobilizing us now to go out there. It's carrying his blessing. He spoke to all of us. Again, not my idea. This is from God for us here and now. Okay, there's open seats here that the Lord would love to have people here to fellowship with us, to experience his love. This could have been a divine appointment for some people tonight. You see. But it's going to be from now on. Okay? We want to fill this place. We want to break down the mother's room and make the next one the mother's room. And, you know, then we want to open up here and then, you know, buy out the bar downstairs and make a youth center. You can, you know, can take over the show, yeah, man. Invite them. They are brilliant. Okay. When the Lord says, then there are results. You can be casting. You can be doing things in your own strength without the Lord having said anything, and you catch nothing. And that's discouraging. And then the challenge is when the Lord says, but do it again, to say, oh, Lord, but there's actually nothing here because I looked. But no, they didn't have that added. They cast their nets again. And so right now I'm saying maybe you've tried it before. But now I believe the Lord is saying, let's go for it. And we can do it together. And we've got a plan, people. We don't only have a vision, we have a plan. Okay? And the Lord's going to bless that. I believe his blessing is resting on us. And now when we go out, we're going to see supernatural things happening. You go out, you prayed up, and you go out. Again, you're not doing it in your own strength. You consecrated, you committed to the Lord. You know, Lord, help me here. And you go out. And now you talk to someone, and guess what? They're going to say, yeah, I'd like to come with you. You know? And the Lord will show you specific people. It's not about hitting and missing. The Lord said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. He knows. He directed the fish there. The Lord knows who's ready. And the Lord knows who he's appointing to show for table view. I believe it's harvest time, and I believe a lot of people will slot in at the other churches, and that's great. And there's some awesome churches in this area. But the Lord brought us here for a reason. There's a people that he's apportioned to fellowship with us here as well. You know that you're special and the Lord wants to connect you to some other people in this town. The Lord wants you to walk a road with some other people. Okay? And they're not here yet because we haven't invited them. But we're going to go out and we'll see, because the Lord has said, and they're going to say yes, and they'll come. And it's going to be awesome. So I just want to encourage you with that. Okay. Just some core values, or, you know, in summary, I love my table view. I want you to know I can make a difference. Love is an action. My responsibility. Table view is my mission field. Can anyone say amen? Say it with me. I can make a difference. Love is an action. My responsibility. Table view is my mission field. Awesome. Just before we start worshiping again, just some practicalities around this. Some things the Lord has shown us in the prayer meetings and also to myself. Just putting our love into action. Remember, it's a doing word. You know, now maybe some of us are really psyched up to go out there and we want to see things happen now. Because God said, and so things are going to happen. We're going to strike while the iron's hot. But now what do we do, you know? Not going out there without a plan. The Lord is giving us strategy. Like I mentioned it earlier, it's a 7-month plan. It's a good reason for that. A bit of a Jericho principle we woven in there. Okay, 7 months. the idea, maybe just something to keep in mind in terms of the big mind shift that's happening, is that I want you to know that everything that we do in this church from now on, you know, if I didn't emphasize that before or mention it, you weren't sure, you can be sure now that everything we do is open to whoever. Jesus came for the whosoever. This church's doors aren't closed. This is not a secret society or an exclusive club. Okay? Every time we meet, whether it's church, whether it's a spiritual growth series, whether it's a camp, or a party, or a small group, whatever, prayer meeting, anyone is welcome. I guarantee you that at every, there will be opportunity for the person to come to know the Lord. And it doesn't mean I'm necessarily every time going to make a structured type of an altar call that many of you are used to. I'm trusting the Lord as well for the supernatural and to speak specific words to specific people. People can get saved during, they can come to know the Lord's love, get a revelation of His love for them during times that we're worshiping Him and so on. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's not necessarily going to be structured in that way. But you've got to understand that whoever is ministering is sensitive to the leading of the Lord as well. I don't want you to be scared to invite someone because you think I might kind of Bible bash them or whatever. Really, everything we do here, the motive, and yeah, sometimes we miss it and get it wrong, but we've got to start having faith in what God is doing here, and everything is out of the motive of love. And so everything we do from now on is open to everyone, and it's an opportunity to invite an unbeliever. Obviously, certain programs or events you will know maybe are more suited to certain people in your life, but guaranteed you will know of someone that you can invite to more or less everything that we do here. So that's kind of the heart behind the thing. And again, I want to stress, don't go and invite someone who's happy in another church. That's not who we're aiming at. We're aiming at people that don't know God. You know, because the church is the only organization that exists for its non-members. That is why we are here. We're here to share the love of Christ with everyone out there. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And we can have confidence in the gospel. It's good news to all those who hear it. Jesus loves this. It's awesome to hear the news, and many haven't heard it yet in so many words, that they've been created by God, and this God actually loves them, and He's not angry at them anymore. Many of them have a picture, and they're afraid of coming to God. They think God's angry. No, Jesus paid the price in full. And God's heart is that He loves them, and He wants to lavish love on them. Don't let me find anyone here condemning someone, telling them how sinful they are, whatever. That person first needs to meet Jesus, and Jesus will help them with their sin and help them to work through it. Okay? We are called to love people. That's all we are called to do. And the message of Jesus Christ is the greatest message of love that the world has ever heard. So that is something that we can add to our action, is to let people know that the Lord loves them. Okay, so what we're going to do, the reason that we're going to do it for 7 months, that takes us to March next year. We can hit the ground running. You're not going to come to church in January and wonder, what are we going to be doing or what are we about now? You're going to hit the ground running. You're going to, over your December holiday and wherever you might go, some of you might be going away, and you'll meet people there maybe that live over here that you've never met before, and you can invite them along and you can bless them, etc. But what we want to be doing, remember, prayer leads to action. You can't really have action, God's type of action, without prayer. And I really want us to make an effort. And therefore, the Lord has given us strategy, what we want to do once a month. So I'm not even asking you, I know it might be difficult for you on a Thursday night, but once a month, I want you to make an effort. If you don't have a bicycle, get a bicycle. Borrow one. Don't steal one. Borrow one. Buy one. Whatever. A bicycle. What we're going to do once a month, mostly on the first Sunday of the month, and for September it will be the first Sunday of the month, on the Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, we meet here on our bicycles, and then we're going to cycle around Tableview. Put the route in my head, about 20 k's I'm estimating. So it's not going to kill us. Might take a while, We'll get fitter as the months go by, but we're going to do it once a month together. A type of I call it a speak life cycle. Speak life cycle. Okay? We are not going around doing warfare, binding Satan and his forces and whatever. That's not what we've been called to do. When Jesus delivered the demoniac at Gadara, where did he send those demons? He sent them into the herd of swine that was just there. Okay? Satan, he's been given legitimate time here on earth to do his thing, and they operate in territories and whatever. And we don't interfere with that, but where you see the enemy's power manifesting in someone's life, there you can bind the work of the enemy. You're not sending the demon to hell or whatever, because Jesus hasn't sent them to hell yet. Okay? So that's just something on the side in terms of spiritual warfare. We're not going to pick a fight with the enemy in that sense. We're here to bless Table View. So we're going to cycle around and we're just going to speak life and blessing. We're going to cycle and you're going to go past the house and the Lord's going to show you something that's maybe not so cool that's happening in that house. And you're just going to speak life. You can say, Lord, give that husband a soft heart towards his wife. And just bless him. Lord, let's show him, Lord, what it means to be a good husband and a good father. Now just speak blessing over that home. And you're going to ride past and you're going to see things and you're going to pray into that. And you're going to speak life and blessing. Because there's a lot of destruction and death and suffering in this town. A lot of division and brokenness. And we speak life and healing. So it's a speak life cycle. Okay? That's what God has asked us to do. His power of life and death in the tongue. So we're going to speak that out as we're riding around, because I figure walking 20K is a bit far. All right? We won't be back in time for church. So we're going to do that first Sunday of the month with everyone who can come. Please make a plan. So that can be our prayer time as such together. And the Lord will show us stuff and he'll give us a heart for the place. And obviously prayer leads to action. Then we're going to have some specific things that we're going to do as well. On that same Sunday that we're cycling around, what I'd like to see us do is have a specific drive to invite people. So that can kind of be, if you want to term it, maybe your divine appointment Sunday. Okay. So, maybe you're putting your faith out for one specific person and you want a bit of impetus and incentive to pray. Then you pray for the 3-4 weeks leading up to that Sunday for that person. And then sometime in that time, you invite them to come on that Sunday. And we put our faith out in a big way that we'll have, and we'll be geared up and we'll be ready for those guys to come on that Sunday. And so, and we just, our only motive and agenda is to love them. So, yes, we have an agenda, but it's to love people. And I think most people wouldn't mind if they find out there's an agenda to love them. That is good, okay? But we're not going to spell it out in so many words to them. We're just going to welcome them and show interest in them and speak to them and bless them and invite them. Right. So you got your speak your life cycles. You got your divine appointments. Remember, most people aren't in church because they weren't invited. You actually have to open your mouth and invite someone. But what we're going to have, also, we're going to print out some nice invite cards and maybe business cards with the church's details on, etc., maybe a map and a phone number, whatever, email address that we can give to you so that you can maybe give that as a type of a reminder to the person. Hey, this is where I go to church. Hey, why don't you come check it out sometime? Hey, that Sunday might be a good time. Why don't I come pick you up at home and you come? That kind of a thing. Make it easy for them to come. Make it difficult for them not to come. Okay. Go and pick them up. Some people want to be picked up. Go the extra mile with your brother. Then there's, in the middle of September, there's a church family day coming up with Shofar Tigerberg. Again, it's an open event. Invite people. It's a great opportunity. It's going to be here in our valley where we had the CD launch. I don't know who of you were at the CD launch, but it's an awesome venue at the Quarry. What's the place's name? Hillcrest, yeah. And there's going to be a big jumping castle for the kids. And it's just going to be a fun day. And, it's just like a lot of people over the weekends, they're looking for stuff to do. Why don't come for a picnic then? So I'll still send you guys info on that. So that's a fun day coming up. Again, as I mentioned, every opportunity, we got a parenting course coming up. And that's a big challenge for people in this day and age. Kids are hard work sometimes. And people out there have a tough time with their kids. And they would appreciate any input. And we can really invite people that we know with kids. Okay? So we're having parenting course coming up in October. We'll have women's. We can organize a women's event and a men's event. Maybe the Rugby World Cup is like a thing for a men's event. We're going to have a photography course. We're still busy organizing a photography course. So that's really non-confrontational. We're just going to have it here. We're not going to speak about anything spiritual. But there's a lot of people out there that want to learn something about photography, and for you guys as well. You know, take better pictures. You know, find out more about your camera and what it can do and what camera maybe you should be looking at getting and whatever else. And it's just an opportunity to build a bridge and build a relationship with someone. You know, and after a while, the person might come back and ask you, you know, so what else do you guys do here or whatever? You know, and then one can tell them. Who knows? You know, here and there, one or two people end up joining the church. And that's a lot more than what's happening at the moment. So we you know, every opportunity. If you guys have ideas, come speak to me. You know, we've had ideas in this week. Also, a soup kitchen in the front row. Okay? I want that to happen. I want to make a plan. You got the vision. You got the job. Come talk to me. I'll help you make it happen. You know, and we can fall in. And it's lekker, you know, because it's about loving table view. A lot of people going hungry tonight, and we can make a difference. And, it doesn't need to cost an arm and a leg. We can make lekker, you know, soup, and we can get the ball rolling. We can get other churches involved. We can make it a big thing. This thing's as big as the sky is the limit, you know, and we can really start making a difference. I forgot to mention the final thing of what Ray McCauley was saying. He sits in the mall. But what he was saying is that, how do you know if your church is legit? That is, if your church wasn't here tomorrow, would anyone miss your church? Would the city miss your church? If Shofar Tableview wasn't here tomorrow anymore, would Tableview, the unbelievers out there, would the city miss us? I think there's a few people that would be missed. Because there's people in the congregation and Tani Rihanna and them and Tani Sue that do work at Home of Hope and with the kids there. And, you know, there's various activities that are influencing the city at large. But yeah, definitely we need to get stuck in. I love my table view. Can anyone say I love my table view? Good stuff. So there's Home of Hope. The Lord laid something on my heart for later this year, all night PPW, prayer, praise and worship, Diernach. Okay, see they test the metal, right? So I know Peter's very excited about that. He's just heard about that. Play till your fingers bleed. Summer of 69, you know. Okay. We're going to have a massive celebration thing. Watch the space. Don't know what it is yet in March next year, just as a kind of a massive celebration about what the Lord has been doing. I'm sure we'll have a lot to celebrate by March. And we'll be a bigger family by then. So, if the band, let's just worship the Lord. I just feel, I just want to give the God thanks. I believe he's stirring our hearts, even as we've been sharing tonight. And I really pray just for, just for go forward, for momentum for us, so we can really pick up this ball and run with it. So I'm excited about it. I know Philip's looking forward to our speak life cycle. So Well, we can talk about that. Maybe Wim Philip, we can cheer him on as he goes. Nog 'n lap, Wim, nog 'n lap. So, that's great. Let's stand as we're just going to worship the Lord and just give him thanks and praise. You know, as much as the Lord, and we've been speaking about the lost out there, as much as he loves them, he loves you. He loves you, and you're special to the Lord. And you've just had the privilege of getting to know him before some of the other people out there. You know, and the Lord, just as much as he wants them to know he loves them, he wants you tonight to know that he loves you. And you know, it's so easy to respond to it, it's so easy to love the Lord. But like he said to Peter, you love me, Peter, go and love them. Okay, let's praise the Lord.